chance for NBA Ray. He buries a triple.
You're listening to the Talkin' Johnnies podcast featuring St. John's University student Ryan Olson.
What's going on, Johnny Nation? I'm your host, Ryan Olson, and welcome back to another episode of the Talkin' Johnnies podcast. I'm sure many of you are wondering, where have you been? It's been a week since my last episode, and a lot has transpired in this past week. We had the Big East tournament last week, then we've most recently had Selection Sunday, and even now tonight, as I'm recording this, we have the start of the NCAA tournament with the first four. So let's get into it. Let's start with last week. I'm just going to give you a quick run through my thoughts on how this last week has kind of progressed, what I think has transpired, and how it's going to affect St. John's going forward. So last Thursday, St. John's squared off with Seton Hall in the quarterfinals of the Big East tournament. Slow start for the Red Storm, giving up some bad open looks on the three-point side of things. Dylan Adewusu kind of taking control of the game early for the Seton Hall Pirates, giving them the lead. But the Red Storm clamped down on things, really played really well defensively in the second half, and was an offensive juggernaut in this one, winning 91-72, punching their ticket to the semifinals of the Big East tournament for the first time since 2000, 24 years in the making. Red Storm fans, a Let's Go Johnny's chant echoed throughout the garden. It was chilling. It was emotional. It was a great experience. I had the luxury to be there with my dad, and we both enjoyed the moment to the fullest. And we were so excited for Friday night. And we had thought at that moment that we had punched our ticket to the NCAA tournament. Obviously, that's not the case, and I'll get into that in a few minutes. But it was a great moment for the program, a great moment for Rick Pitino, and a great moment for all these seniors and how they've progressed. It was an up-and-down season, definitely, but it was a memorable season for the Red Storm and how they finished and how they left everything on the floor. Definitely a lot to be proud of with this squad. They would go into Friday night with what they thought with house money, nothing to lose. Give UConn your best shot. If you miss, it's okay. You'll still make the NCAA tournament. St. John's did give UConn just about everything they had. They would lose 95-90, and the key in this one was just not getting enough defensive stops down the stretch. UConn just hit so many timely shots. They're an offensive powerhouse. They really have no weaknesses. The Red Storm did get down by double figures, but they kept it close, got it under 10, just could not get enough stops in those final few minutes and would ultimately lose by 5. A really good accomplishment. The fans were still, I was very annoyed. I hate losing to UConn. I hate losing to Danny Hurley. I think he's a man-child. I think he's a baby. I think he is a great coach, but I don't respect him in that respect for his on-court antics and his behavior with their officials. But the Red Storm lost that one. I was very upset after losing to UConn, but my dad reminded me that the Red Storm were going to dance for the first time since 2019 and that I should keep my head up, and I tried to, and I did. Moving on to Saturday, that's the day where everything kind of went downhill for the Red Storm. We saw the North Carolina State Wolfpack upset the UNC Tar Heels in the ACC Conference Championship game. That stole a bit from an at-large team like St. John's. We saw Florida Atlantic lose to Temple. That stole another bid from St. John's. We also saw Colorado lose to Oregon. Oregon stole a bid with the winning of the Pac-12 championship. In fact, the last Pac-12 championship that will ever occur as the league is disbanding going forward. Just worth noting for those that didn't know that. And then that's four spots that were lost for the Red Storm on Saturday. So it was already, the Red Storm were already kind of on the bubble. We're not in a lot of brackets. Joe Lenardi had the Red Storm in on the start of Saturday, comfortably in. Last four buys, last four in, kind of in those areas. Mike DeCourcy had them in that same region. But then things changed. Sunday morning, the Red Storm were dropping. First four out. Most of the day, they stayed first four out. And then Sunday night came. I tuned in with my family. I was very, very excited and both nervous, hoping the Red Storm could get a berth for the first time since 19. And ultimately, they wouldn't. They would give Virginia the final spot. And St. John's would not even be one of the first four out. It's just mind-boggling how a team like St. John's with 20 wins and 11 wins in the conference and a net of 32, a KenPom ranking of 26, failed to make the NCAA tournament. But teams like Seton Hall, Oklahoma, Indiana State, and Pitt, the first four out, they have bigger gripes than St. John's as they were closer in the eyes of the committee. Obviously, Seton Hall had a tremendous season with 13 Big East wins, wins over UConn and Marquette on their home floor, huge quality wins. Their net metrics were not great, which I think is ultimately why they missed the tournament, but also the bid stealers, of course, did ruin their chances. They definitely would have been in Dayton if it probably wasn't for those bid stealers. But for the Red Storm, if you look at it, Virginia, a really disappointing choice, and I think it goes to show you the committee's kind of set on past success. In my opinion, I look at Virginia, and I look at a team that has been in the NCAA tournament for the last X amount of years. They've been in every year for the last so many years. But now they're on the bubble, and they're like, well, we'll take them again. They're sure, you know, they're an NCAA tournament program for the last decade. But they're losing by 20 points as we speak to Colorado State, and they're going to be knocked out in the first four. This team can't score. This team only had two quad one wins, a net of 54, while the Red Storm were 32nd. The Red Storm had two more quad one wins than Virginia. And Virginia got in with the worst KenPom ranking at 67, while the Red Storm were 26. It's just mind-boggling that they would choose a team like Virginia over the Red Storm, and even choose a team like Virginia over all of the Oklahoma, Seton Hall, and even Pitt. Indiana State, I don't really believe should have been in the conversation, but the committee was just trying to be diverse, if you just ask me, in terms of mid-majors. Then I go and look at Florida Atlantic. I look at them with only two quad one wins, two quad four losses, a loss to Temple in the semifinals of the American Athletic Conference. How in the world are they getting an eight seed? It just made no sense to me. I think the committee was solely like Virginia, looking at past success. Florida Atlantic Final Four run last year, thinking they would sustain it this year with a solid squad. Obviously, they've underachieved a little bit to this point, and the committee just kind of relied on last year to catapult them into that eight seed. Michigan State, only three quad one wins. Now, I know it's Tom Izzo, and I know Michigan State, another perennial NCAA tournament team. But why? Are you not using metrics? Rick Pitino said after St. John's failed to reach the NCAA tournament on Sunday evening that the word net is fraudulent. And I agree with him in that respect, because if you're going to go by net, St. John's should have been in the tournament. If you're going to go by KenPom, St. John's also should have been in the tournament. But they chose to basically go on these other random metrics, it seems. If they didn't even use metrics in some extent, I think they just went off past success. But that's all I'm going to say. The moral of the story is you can't really survive losing 9 out of 11 games between January and February. And the Red Storm, even though they finished winning 6 of their final 7, it just goes to show you that you need to play steady and consistent ball throughout the most of the season. And you need to rack up quality wins. And the Red Storm had plenty of chances. They were 4-10 in quad one opponents. You win one or two more of those games, and you're safely in the NCAA tournament. That things didn't go their way. A tough break in Omaha against Creighton with the officials late down the stretch in that one. 1-point loss to Marquette on the home floor. A couple of point loss at UConn. Things could have definitely been different, but for the first season, for 20 wins under Rick Pitino, it was definitely a positive season, and Red Storm fans need to remind themselves of that and take that from this season. But with that being said, I want to do this fun little activity where I'm going to rank the 5 best moments of this momentous season for the Red Storm. In fact, before I give you my top 5 moments, I have a few tidbit stats that I want to share with you. 20 wins is the most wins by Rick Pitino in his first year with a new program, so he's even at his age in the 70s, he is achieving new heights. St. John's first win this season at the Finneran Pavilion against Villanova in 31 years. They had their first 21 season in 5 years. And they have only had 5 20 win seasons in the last 21 seasons. So 21 or so years. That's a huge accomplishment for this program. Winning at the Finn for the first time in 31 years against Villanova. Rick Pitino adding another feat to his long list of accomplishments. 20 wins, the most in his first year with a new program. So now let's get into my top 5 moments of the season. I'm going to go start from 5 and work my way down to 1. And number 5 for me was really my favorite player down the stretch in this one, in this season. And that was Jordan Dingle. Jordan Dingle came to play when the Red Storm needed him to come to play most this season. He emerged during the final 7 games, averaging 15.7 points per game, shooting 37.5% from deep. That's 6% higher than his season average, where he was around 31% from behind the arc. He finished with 19 points against UConn in the semifinals of the Big East tournament, 19 versus DePaul, and 22 versus Georgetown. We started to see him score in bunches like he did in Penn. He started to find that rhythm with the jump shot coming off curls, coming off screens. Really knockdown shooter, really showed his potential. It was just a little bit too late for the Red Storm this season, but Jordan Dingle really finished strong, and I'm proud of his campaign. It was a great Johnny, and one I won't forget going forward, and I want to just salute him and his strong performance. Now, my next moment, number four coming in, will be St. John's' dismantling of Butler 82-59, at the time deemed a must-win to keep the at-large NCAA tournament hopes alive. The Red Storm came out in the second half of that one, guns a-blazing. Glenn Taylor Jr. was the unsung hero in that one, 17 points, 5-for-7 from deep. It was a dominant performance by the Red Storm. I had the luxury of traveling to Indianapolis for that one. Great performance by Glenn Taylor Jr., who really stepped it up in that one. Hit some big step-back shots. I want to give him a shout-out. Hopefully he comes back next season, as he's only a junior, going to be a rising senior. Definitely would love to have his defensive intensity and his offensive prowess that he brings to the table for the Red Storm going forward. My number three moment was the St. John's 80-66 victory over number 15 Creighton on Johnny's Day. That was a huge win. It was really the win that changed the season. Yes, they had won at Georgetown just a few days prior, but that win put them back on the map. It was their best quality win of the season, and it got catapulted them and gained them some traction as they tried to make their way towards a March Madness NCAA tournament berth. And this one, it was Danish Jenkins, 27 points, 6 assists. Jordan Dingle, 18 points. Glenn Taylor Jr., 10 rebounds. Those three guys stood out to me. Solid performances. Number two, coming in at number two on my top five moments, Rick Pitino's post-game presser leads to 6-game winning streak. During this press conference following a 68-62 loss against Seton Hall at UBS Arena, Rick Pitino called St. John's and their team non-athletic. He said they lack toughness. He said that certain guys, Sean Conway, slow laterally, Drisa Traore, slow laterally, Chris Ledlam, slow laterally. He called Brady Dunlap physically weak. But all of that, Rick Pitino would go on to say, was intentional, got the guys motivated. Did it hurt some of their feelings? Yes, he admitted that. He apologized at the next game after the next game against Georgetown, but it catapulted the team on a to win six of their last seven, and it was a really strong finish for the Red Storm. And I want to put that as my number two moment because it was a memorable one. And what many people will remember of this season will be that press conference that he had after the Seton Hall loss, probably the lowest, by far the lowest point of this season. And then my number one moment, not one that I'm sure you guys can figure out what my number one moment is, and that was the slaughtering of Seton Hall to reach the Big East semifinals for the first time in 24 years. That was a momentous occasion for this program, long time coming, and it made so many fans rejoice in the fact that Red Storm were relevant again. They were among the final four teams in the Big East in the tournament, and it was something to be proud of. In just 1 year, Rick Pitino had brought this program so much relevancy again, and that's the key. Going forward, I'm so excited for how relevant St. John's is going to be again. The sky's the limit for this program. I know they've been a historic program, and Rick is going to bring history back, and he's going to hand it off to somebody when he's done that's going to continue that history. So that's going to wrap things up for another episode. We are now in the off-season for the Red Storm, and during the off-season, I plan to provide you with interesting and exclusive content. I'm going to try and get some fun guests on. I'm going to keep you up on transfer portal news. In fact, just before I wrap things up, Cruz Davis, the Iona guard, did enter the transfer portal. He did not play this season because I think it was a fractured hand or wrist. He was out for the season. And notably, St. John's is already looking at Hofstra's Darlinston Dubar, 17-point-per-game scorer from the Pride. We'll look to maybe find a comfort spot in Queens. It would be a nice addition for the Red Storm. But going forward now, I have a lot of plans to take this podcast to the next level. I think I'm just still hitting the surface. I'm so happy with the comments and the feedback I get on Twitter. The feedback that I get from people in the St. John's community, it means the world to me. I can't thank you all enough for listening. I can't thank you all enough for sharing this with other people. And I just want to take this opportunity to say this was a great season. We did not get the result that we wanted at the end of it. But I know next year at this time, there'll be no doubt in my mind that we will get that result. We will hear our name called and we will be in the NCAA tournament. So I'm signing off for now. I'm going to try and do an episode probably on a weekly to bi-weekly basis to keep my listeners engaged, keep them interested, and we'll go from there. But thank you so much. This is my first season doing a podcast for St. John's. It was a memorable one. Can't thank you all enough. And as always, I'll see you guys next time, and let's go Red Storm.